Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Facing Your Fears with your host, Evangelist Norma Chapman, and co-host, Pastor Doris Smith. Evangelist Norma Chapman is the host of Facing Your Fears Blog Talk Radio Show. She's interviewed many guests that have been an inspiration as well as a blessing to many of her listeners. She's the author of What Faith Can Do, and she's currently writing 3 other books. She studied criminal justice and criminal law and attended Union Baptist Theological College in New Orleans. She's an associate minister at Greater Liberty Baptist Church under the leadership of Dr. Calvin W. Woods, Jr. She sits on the NAACP Executive Committee. She is the former chairperson for Justice for Girls SDLC New Orleans Chapter. She is the newly elected Universal Baptist Association Women's Auxiliary Director. She is the mother of 2 daughters and 4 beautiful grandchildren. Sister Doris Smith, co-host. Sister Smith retired after 29 years of service in the government from the position of procurement contracting supervisor. She's a pastor, a teacher, an author, a certified professional speaker, a life and inspirational coach, and the host of the Power Hour, Life of Inspiration and Motivation. A caregiver, a beautiful wife, a wonderful mother, a grandmother, and just an all-around people person. And outside for Facing Your Fears with Evangelist Norma Chapman, with her co-host, Pastor Doris Smith.
Good evening to our listeners that is tuned in on today's show. We had some difficulties in the studio. I don't know what's going on, whether it's with my co-host or the special guest on the show, but I ask at this time to stop moving around or doing anything because we're interfering in the studio. It's coming from the other side. All right, listeners, you're tuned in to Facing Your Fears Radio Talk Show hosted by Evangelist Norma Chapman and co-host Pastor Doris Smith from Miami, Florida. Today we have a very, very informative, amazing show, which includes our special guest, Mrs. Andrea Franklin, who is blessed to be alive through a tragedy that happened in her life and being a survivor from a domestic violence environment. But before we begin our show and introduce our special guest, let us bow our heads and as our co-host come with our opening prayer.
Amen, amen. God bless you all as you're connecting in, praise God, this afternoon to Facing Your Fears Radio Talk Show host from around the world. Father, we thank you today and we praise you. We lift you up and we magnify your name today. Faithful Father, we say thank you that you are perfectly faithful. You never forget and you never fail. You never take back a promise because a promise is a promise. Father, we thank you today for our special guest. We thank you, Lord God, for how you have kept her and how you have brought her to this very moment to share with the world, praise God, such an amazing testimony. We thank you for the host of this Facing Your Fear radio show and all the creative abilities and blessings that you have given to her to share in the world. We thank you for Melvin Jordan today, praise God, that is connected with us, Lord. We thank you for you, God, because it's all about you. If you don't do it, it won't be done. Now, Lord, we ask that you would touch everyone that's connected. Lord, allow them to receive something that they will go away from the show, inspired, encouraged, uplifted, and with a heart and a mind, praise God, to share with someone else that they too may have a change in their lives. God bless you, and we say amen.
Amen, amen. We truly thank the co-hosts for their awesome prayer at this time. All right, listeners, you too can tune in on this amazing topic on today with our special guest, Mrs. Andrea Franklin. Just press the number one on your phone. And if you press the number one on the phone, you will be tuned into the show and you will come into the studio with us to share your comments, thoughts, or your experience, as well as ask any questions that you may have for our special guest on today. All right, at this time now, we're going to introduce you to our special guest. But before we introduce you to the special guest, our topic for today is focusing on domestic violence. Yes, focusing on domestic violence. Because during this trying time of the coronavirus, we I'm sure that there are many, many families and children and relatives are going through a lot of depression and being a lot of stress, and they're frustrated. And I'm afraid that through the wives and husband and children and common law are not normally used to being in the same house for days and days and hours and not living in that type of environment in which they have to live in because of the coronavirus has pushed them into that situation. I'm praying and hoping that domestic violence is not set in, but I do know there is a lot of domestic violence going on during this period. I'm hoping that we can shed some light on it and be an inspiration and a blessing to those out there. All right. Our guest for today is Ms. Andrea Franklin. Hello, Ms. Franklin. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm okay, and you?
I am blessed. We are so excited to have you on today's show, and we pray that you will be a blessing to someone out there and that someone will be able to hear your story and be able to live it in domestic violence environment, that your story will inspire them and encourage them to come from out of such environment, because you're going to share with our listeners on today what tragic happened in your life. But before we get into the topic for today, tell us a little bit about yourself, Ms. Franklin.
Well, once again, I would like to formally introduce myself. I am Andrea Franklin. I'm New Orleans born and raised. I'm a dedicated hairstylist for 25-plus years, single woman, no kids.
Thank you so much. Anything else you want to share with our listeners?
Right now I'm just introducing myself, and I'm going to wait until you present my story.
Thank you so very much. All right, now you have it, listeners. All right, we're talking today about facts, frustration, violence, families, encouragement, prayers, and abuse. As we bring our special guest back into the studio, first let me introduce you to Mrs. Patricia Jordan, which have joined Facing Your Fears Radio Talk Show. She's going to be a big assistance and a blessing to this show. Ms. Patricia Jordan, how are you today?
I'm doing wonderful, Minister Chaplin. I just want to thank you for another opportunity, along with our special guest and also our co-host, Minister Doris Smith, from allowing all of us to have the opportunity to listen to this young lady tell her story, that others that may have been abused or feel in abusive relationship, that she's able to help them come out.
Thank you. All right. With no further ado, we will now go into our topic for today with our special guest, Mrs. Andrew Franklin. Ms. Andrew Franklin, from my understanding, you were in a tragic environment through domestic violence. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell us what happened on that tragic day? You can give the month and the date and the year that this tragic happened. What took place on that day?
On December the 31st, 2010, I was shot multiple times by a former boyfriend of 19 years. On that day, I was at my hair salon working. He called me maybe like an hour before I was shot. He called me at the salon and asked me about his blood pressure medicine. And I said that I don't have the medicine. So after that, he hung up the phone. So when I was leaving out of the salon at 3:25 in the afternoon, I walked out of the salon, and he told me, You can't leave me, B-I-T-C-H. He said, before you leave me, I'll kill you. After that, he pulled out a gun, shot me multiple times. and fled the scene.
My God, listeners, you are listening to a tragic that happened to Mrs. Franklin, and as she continued to go into her story on today, we're going to just sit back, let her take her time, and be able to tell us what happened leading up to that tragic. Ms. Franklin, can you shed a light on before that particular day,
okay,
before the shooting, the day before? Can you share with our listeners what led up to this tragic?
Well, I would like to share with any young lady who is experiencing abuse, first of always be mindful of verbal abuse. If somebody always calling you out of your name, being verbal, that is a sign to walk away. That is the number one red flag. Always be mindful of that, because when a person starts talking abusive to you, next thing will follow along is violence. Me, myself, I was told that as a child. My parents tried to instruct me in the right directions. I had very praying mother and father. But as a young 19-year-old young lady, I chose to go in my own direction in life. In that direction, I met this young man. In the beginning, it's always great. I mean, behind nice things, all the things that young ladies like. But as time went by, that's when the control comes in. The abuse, the verbal abuse comes in. And then you get sucked up in a situation, and then you have no way out. As a child, he pulled me away from my family, because once again, I met him at 19 years old. So he pulled me away from my family. He kind of like isolated me off to myself. That way, that gave him full control over my life. And I would like to tell any young lady, if you're dating someone and you cannot live a normal life like you were living before him, that's another red flag. Always focus on self, put self first in any dating situation. Like 2 weeks before I actually got shot, I went to God and I told God, I said, God, I come to you at this time. And I asked you, I said, it's in your hands now, Father. It's not in my hands no more. I'm tired of this relationship. I have no more control over it. And I just told God, whatever have to happen to me, you are in control. And I left it there. I didn't call my mother. I didn't call my friends. I didn't call no one. That's how I really knew I was truly tired of that relationship. 2 weeks after that, I came back home. Because I had left my home. I came back home, went to work that day. It was the day before New Year's Eve. Once I went to work, like everybody was telling me Happy New Year's, Happy New Year's. And I'm saying to myself, I don't even know if I'm going to be here. That's just going to show you how God give you a spirit of discernment to show you something is about to happen, but you just don't know what it is. So when I walked out the shop, the guy who I was with for 19 years, he approached me with the gun, like I told y'all earlier. He shot me 7 times, several times in the stomach, 1 time in the leg. The last attempt was for my head. I raised my arm up and blocked the bullet, the last bullet that was actually going to my head. Excuse me, y'all. After that, I was rushed to the hospital, and the doctors was like, we don't understand this. We don't understand this. You've been shot 7 times. We don't even understand how you're still living. And I looked up at the sky, and I told the doctors, I said, because I was touched but untouched, God was in control. And the doctor said, Lord, have mercy. He said, this is one time I'm going to say, this was not in our hands. I said, yes, Lord. God was definitely in control. So I would like to tell anyone who's going through an abusive relationship, don't be afraid to talk to somebody, to open up. Don't hide it. just a friend you can go and talk to. And if not a friend, you can definitely go to the higher power. Because believe me, God was definitely in control. I will say that from that day to this day forward, God was in control.
All right, listeners, we're going to be listening to some more testimony from our special guest on today, but I do have a couple more questions for her to answer before we get some, before the co-host and Mrs. Jordan joins in the conversation. And before they do, I would like to give out some if there are any victims out there that's going through domestic violence, we are going to have some tips today and some information for you on today that you can be aware of these things. And if you're not aware of them, it will lead and guide you to know that you are in a domestic violence environment. And it's one of the things that I would read off. If this is happening in your home or in your relationship, then it's a wake-up call. It's time to get out of there now. But Mrs. Franklin, how many years was you with your friend before he started abusing you? What was the first
time? I was with him.
Go ahead.
After the third year, then it came, the verbal abuse started. The first 3 years was great. I guess after we started living together, that's when things changed. And one thing I forgot to say, my father told me that I want to share something else for young ladies. If your parents tell you somebody is not good for you, believe them. My daddy told me the first day he met that guy, that man right there is going to be the death of you. So, I mean, it's pretty deep.
Let me ask you this, Ms. Franklin. You all were dating 3 years. You actually started living kind of close together. Am I correct? That's a lot of moving in the back and is interrupting the studio. If there are moving about what you keep it in one area, stay there because it's affecting the studio at this time. You need to be in a quiet place and stay in that position until the show is over, because if you move around or do anything, it interferes with the studio and the listeners cannot hear what's going on with the show, okay? But I'm asking you is, you all were dating 3 years, and then after the 3 years, you started living together as husband and wife, am I correct?
Actually, we started living together a year after dating. You asked me when did the abuse start, and I told you 3 years after us dating. The verbal
3 years
abuse.
After you started dating him. The verbal abuse started,
yes.
3 years. But were you all living together those, in other words, let me rephrase that. Before you all started living together, how long were you dating before actually moving in with one another?
1 year.
Okay, so after the 1 year of meeting him, then you and him started living together as husband and wife. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay. So within that 3 year period of time, there were some good times and there were some bad times. But then abuse started kicking in. Can you share with our listeners, what was the first sign of an abuse that he showed you?
One day I didn't want to do what he wanted me to do, and he called me a bitch.
Okay, we're not going to use that particular word on
okay.
air. We would just
apologize.
Use the word, or that's okay,
no problem.
But okay, so he started calling you out your name, all right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Listen, some of the verbal abuses are constant criticism, okay? Name calling, mockery, swearing, yelling, and humiliating remarks. Okay, that's some of the verbal. So she said that she wasn't going to, she said to me during her interview, he wasn't actually doing physical abuse, but he was verbally abusing her. And from the verbal abuse, she got, if I'm wrong, stop me, special guest, when she got set up with it and she knew it was time for her to get away, she's saying to our listeners that that's when he said that she wasn't going to leave him. So when she made up her mind to leave, how long between the time that you told him that the relationship was over, that he took that and came to your job or was waiting for you at your job, and he actually that day shot the day up before the shooting? How long was it when you had told him, was it a day, 2 days, a week that you had broke up with him and he knew that you were gone? And it finally kicked in that he knew that you were tired of being tired, and he felt threatened that you would never come back to him. How long of a time was you separated before he actually shot you?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Listeners, we're talking about a relationship that was for how long did you tell her this was? How long were you with this lover?
19 years.
19 years. 18 years of those 19 years, our special guest was under verbal abuse. Listen to what she's telling us. It was all right the first year. It was all beautiful. Everything that she wanted, or everything would make her happy, he did. After that, 18 years of living in a domestic violence environment, only separated 2 weeks before her abuser felt that it's time to take her life, or try to take her life. So what's important to get, and why I felt that it was important to bring our special guest on, is because people need to hear the story. This is still happening in the world today. There are so many young people feel that they have to have a relationship and let their friend, and let me tell you something, not just a man verbally abusing a woman, but you have so many women out there verbally abusing their husband and their friends. It starts from a verbal conversation. And I'm sort of surprised, Ms. Franklin, that it took 19 years before he even laid hands on me. Because usually in a verbal abuse, it comes, once they start a verbal abuse, it's not long before a lick or a hit somewhere. Somebody started hitting somebody and it's out of control and there's a fight or not. But what you're telling me was a lot of father hollering and screaming and talking loud. And
well, yeah.
Were you afraid of him?
No, I was afraid to leave because he always told me, if you leave me, I will kill you. I believe I didn't get a lot of physical abuse because I was raised with a daddy who told me a man shouldn't hit a woman. So I would always stress that in the house, even with the hollering and screaming, I would always say, if you hit me, I will leave you. Because I had a daddy who never, you know, put his hands on me a day in my life. So that was something that I strongly believed in as a woman.
Let me ask you another question. Living with him 19 years, the 19-year relationship that you had with him, before he started calling you out of your name, was there any other warning sign? That the warning sign I'm talking about, not the abusive, verbal abusive warning sign, because he's giving you many of those, right? I'm talking about if you have any other warning sign that he would actually do what he said he would do if you ever would meet him, he would kill you. Well, did he show you any sign that he would actually take this action?
Well, I knew his lifestyle, so with that being said, when you know that a person is capable of doing anything, you kind of like that kind of puts fear in you as an individual. If a person keeps telling you, if you leave me, kill you, and then I know you was a street individual. So with that being said, that was the fear in me at the time.
All right. I'm going to ask one more question, and I'm going to turn it over to my co-host, and then Ms. Jordan is going to come and join the conversation, and she may have some questions for you at that time. But we want to ask that we move rapidly. Now, you don't have to rush yourself, because I'm happy to announce to our listeners on Facing the Fish Radio Talk Show, the show do not have to end in an hour. We can be on 2 hours if necessary, if the listeners want to stay on and the conversation is interesting enough for her to be able to express herself and we be able to get some training on domestic violence. It would have taken this show longer than an hour. So we have a studio for 2 hours today so we can be able to get some information out there for a victim or maybe an abuser who's thinking about becoming an abuser or whatever the situation is. We have some training today that I'm going to do for a while after the interviewing with our special guest, and I pray that everyone will stay tuned. And remember, listeners, you too can join in on this awesome conversation by pressing the number 1 on your phone. If you have any questions, comments, I want to share your experience or thoughts with our guest on today. If you have any questions or comments for our co-host or Mrs. Jordan, feel free to press that number 1 and we will bring it to the studio. All right, one more question from me, Ms. Franklin, is that so often, there are warning signs. And your warning sign that you did not take heed to was, if you leave me, I will kill you. Okay? Another one he so clearly told you is when he called you out your name. It's like he said, a man shouldn't hit a woman, but a man should not disrespect a lady. Neither a lady disrespects a man. If you don't want me to call you out of your name, then you shouldn't call me out of my name. If you want me to respect you, then you should respect me. One is no better than the other. If I'm good to you, why not show me kindness back? But if you get into a relationship and you're the only one that's showing love and concern, and the other one is just not showing you the same attraction or same attention back, and you believe me, abuser is naked. And some of them don't even know themselves how far they would go to keep the woman that they love. But I know you don't love somebody. No, well, you don't kill nobody. You don't kill or hurt something you love. But sometimes they say these things out the mouth. And from the mouth, the tongue is powerful. And the devil hears everything we say. So the tongue holds life and death. Okay? So he constantly tells you, I'm going to kill you. Actually, it had built up in his head to do so. Even if you might have just been saying it in the beginning. But I said to my listeners out there, I would not take a chance. If you tell me that,
I'm going to say this with each individual. First, when you get into a relationship, and I have learned this now, first you have to love yourself. And loving yourself is very important. At the time when I entered that relationship, I was a very insecure woman. And when you're insecure, a lot of times you put yourself in awkward situations, whereas you allow yourself to take things that a person who loves themselves would not take. So a lot of times, I'm going to tell you this, I wouldn't even call myself really a victim. I'll tell you that I have learned from a mistake that I made with of not loving myself, really being insecure. So I would advise any woman before they actually get into a relationship, first love yourself wholeheartedly, be very secure with who you are as a woman. Because once you have those things in perspective, once you get into a relationship, anything that a person do you that you wouldn't mistreat yourself with, you're not going to allow it. So I can explain to the listeners now, from being a younger adult, I just had a lot of personal issues with myself, and it really wasn't time for me to be getting into a relationship. And a lot of times, it's a lot of young people that go through that. Sometimes people don't even receive. I can say I was somebody that had a mother and father that loved me. I just made bad choices in life. But there are some people that run to relationships because they're not loved at home, or they go out and have kids early and they go and depend on this man. It's just a lot of different things that make women, that allow, not make, that allow women to accept abuse. Because honestly now, so when I look back up at my life, I would truly say a person cannot do you no more than you allow. So with that being said, I can say I'm a victim of crime, but I can also say I take responsibility of me not really loving myself. Because for me to be into something for 19 years, when I look back at my life now as an adult, guess what? The responsibility, it all starts with me. Because why would I take something for not, even though it looked shiny and gold and glittery from the beginning, but over time, if I would have been loving myself and been secure as a woman with myself, a lot of things I wouldn't allow. That's why men or women, whoever encounters abuse, they are able to, they accept that, because in reality, you're really not loving yourself. So that's something that I definitely wanted to share with the listeners. Never let nobody treat you less than you would treat yourself. That's very important, because a lot of times as people, we try to blame someone else for what we're going through. And once again, I'm going to stress this strongly. No one can do you no more than you allow. So at that time, when I was in that domestic relationship, it really all started with me. Because you know what? If I would have knew who I was, like I know now, a lot of things I would not have went through for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, further along to 19 years. So that's the point that really needs to be brought across to people, that you must love yourself first. Once you love yourself first, guess what? Everything else will fall in place. God first, because guess what? If we will apply the Bible principles to our lives, a lot of situations we wouldn't be in, even as young people started having sex before marriage. All of that is an issue if we will really apply the Bible to our life.
We have to move on a little bit, Ms. Franklin, because we have a lot of callers that wants to come in and share. And we don't get through the show, we won't be able to hear what callers, our listeners are calling to say. But what I want to say with in regards to what you just said about if you stay with an abuser, you don't love yourself, I'm going to disagree with that, and I'm going to give our listeners some facts on domestic love. Why is it so difficult to me? It is so often, question is asked, why do people stay in abusive relationships? It calls the poem to survivors, implying that they are to blame for the abuse. They blame themselves for the abuse. Instead of questions like, how did the abuser prevent the other person from leaving? How did they prevent you from leaving? Okay? Or why do abusers choose to abuse their partners? Or more appropriate, there are serious facts that weighs on an abusive person's decision to leave. Leaving can be dangerous. Many victims realistically fears that their abusive partner's action will become more violent, and even it will be it will be an attempt. Even if they will attempt to leave, the abuser may have threatened to kill them. And such like in our special guest case on today, she says that he threatened to kill her or harm. And in some cases, women are afraid to leave. May I finish, please? And I'm going to let you come back there, special guest. I'm giving a training right now, okay? A lot of children, a lot of mothers, stay with their abusive partners or husbands because they threaten even their children. They threaten to kill their children in some cases. So it's more than just blaming yourself for not loving yourself. This is what I'm trying to express. Because there are many factors, in fact, on domestic violence. Why my abuser abused me? Some feel like they're not independent enough to leave. They don't have a job. They're not educated. They have nowhere to go. And some of them are very ashamed of telling their loved ones or their friends what they're going through at home. So instead, they stay there and they accept what the abusers are doing. They feel that they leave. Where will I go? I have children. Where are we going to sleep? And keep in mind that what they have set up now for domestic violence victims is because they have counseling, they have housing, they prepare them to get a job, they prepare them for their education. These are things that's available for domestic violence victims. But were they always available? No. It wasn't always available to a mother that had children and the abuser said, if you leave out the door, I'm going to hurt your son or your daughter, or you can't take these children with you. So what you do? What they do, they say, well, I don't want to leave without bringing children. That's one factor. And I cannot do a whole class on the radio talk show today, but we will be doing part two of domestic violence. Because there's many, many factors to domestic violence that if we have a domestic violence out there listening right now, we want to get them to understand that what sort of ability is for the victims. And the survivors have many options from obtaining and protecting. Now you can get a protective order, and you can go to a support group now. But the sad thing is that the first step is making up your mind to get out of it. It's overcoming the fear of being afraid of your abuse. The first time that a man calls you out your name or threatens if you leave him, he'll kill you. That's the day that you said, this is it. Not a year later, not a week later, not a month later, and not, of course, not years later. That day, that's your warning sign. The first threat to take your life. The first threat, if you don't shut up, I'll punch you in your mouth. If you don't shut up, this, that, or this, that, trying to go right then and there because it's not going to get any better. That's the first warning sign that you are dealing with a partner that will not only verbally abuse you or physically abuse you, that partner could very well take your life. So many women and men have been killed. And then they turn around and take the gun and turn it on themselves, and they take their own life. But I'm going to yield right here, and I'm going to let our co-host come in. After the co-host, of course, we'll let Ms. Jordan come in, and then you all can ask your questions and allow our guests to answer the questions, co-host.
Good evening, good evening. Great, great, great show this evening. And I'm so grateful to have the opportunity to be tuned in to hear Ms. Franklin and to hear her amazing testimony and to hear how God really sustained her and brought her out with her life and another opportunity. Praise God. I just want to ask a question. I heard you say that you were in the relationship 3 years when the abuse started. And I want to ask the question, once you identified that there was abuse, what happened that made you feel comfortable staying 16 more years?
That was the point that I was trying to make when I said if I would have been loving myself, I would have dealt with things differently. By me being more loving that person more than I was loving myself, that's why I stayed in it so long. And it wasn't because of finances or anything like that, because I was a well-stable woman. Once again, when I made the point earlier, when you don't know who you are, you allow a lot of things to happen in your life that you wouldn't if you would have been loving yourself and been a very secure woman. So that was the reason why I stayed somewhere so long. I guess I was misunderstood, but that was the reason I stayed somewhere so long, because I didn't really know who I was, and I wasn't really loving myself. And I wasn't secure with the woman I was at the time, so that made me stay in a relationship with somebody who I'm looking at him as he's more than me at that time. That's why I made that point from the beginning, because it is like that. That's loving someone else more than they loving themselves. I wasn't speaking on once you're in a relationship, you have to love yourself. Same before. You have to love yourself. That way a lot of things you would not allow. So I'm saying to answer your question, when you say what made me stay so long, because I was loving someone else more than I was loving myself.
Exactly. And that happens to a lot of women. I've counseled a lot of them that say the very same thing that you're saying, so I know that's a fact. And they say, the first thing they say, I didn't love myself. And when you began to love yourself, you teach people how to treat you, not only in a domestic issue, but in any relationship. When you really love yourself, you teach people how to treat you, because some people operate in such spirit of control, such spirit of dominance, and that's what abusers usually operate. And be a woman or a man, because there are a lot of men out there that are being abused. So abuse doesn't specifically say it's just a man or a woman. It could be a woman abusing a man. But there are a lot of them don't know who they are, and they have specifically said that. So I can understand that response, and I can agree with it, and I will, because I've heard so many other women say the same thing. I didn't know who I was, but when I began to realize who I was, I took a stand, and I made a decision, no more. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to be afraid anymore. I'm not going to just bow down anymore. Whatever happened has to happen, but I'm coming up and I'm coming out. And they begin to reach out, and eventually they get the help like yourself. And you overcome some things, you've learned some things. The other question that I had, was he a self-sustaining individual person that was pretty much able to take care of himself? Is there anything that he depended upon you for?
Over the time, that's when the dependence came.
And the reason I asked that question, I'll tell you twofold reason. That's the only question I have. And I'm very good. I asked that question because a lot of times when people are in some way, form, or fashion depending on you for something and you yield in any way to let them know it's okay and they feel that they've gained that control, not knowing that you're just loving and humble and caring and kind and many times of taking your kindness for weakness.
And I'm going to share this with you. His mother died at a young age. So when he met me, I think I reminded him of a mother figure. So that's why mm-hmm. I said that was a very interesting question that you just asked, because mm-hmm. that's something that he used to say a lot. I lost my mother. I'm not going to lose you. So that was a very serious question that you asked, because that is sometimes, and that made me, for being a caring person, that I think that was one of the reasons why I stayed, because I'm looking at this man keeps telling me, you know, like, I don't have my mom no more. And by me being the individual that I am, it's almost like I'm looking to save somebody. And I couldn't do that. As I look back over life now, I can look at it and say, that wasn't your place. That was something he needed to heal from, for losing his mother. But at the time, once again, at that time, I didn't have the knowledge that I have now. So that was a great question.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much. I have truly enjoyed it. I'm continuing to enjoy your testimony, and I'm so glad that you have come out. I'm so glad that you are here to talk about where you've been and to know who brought you through, and that's the Lord. God bless you.
Thank you.
All right. This is, you're still tuning in to Facing the Fears Radio Talk Show, hosted by yours truly, Evangelist Norma Chapman, with our co-host, Pastor Doris Smith, out of Miami, Florida. And also we have with us in the studio today, Mrs. Patricia Jordan. At this time, we're going to yield and let her come and ask, give comments, ask questions, and share her thoughts with our guests on today. Mrs. Patricia Jordan.
Good evening, listening audience. Good evening, Ms. Franklin. I have truly enjoyed your testimony. Hopefully your testimony would help others to get out abuses of relationships. Now my question is to you, that when had he ever fought you before, other than the shooting? I know about the mental abuse of calling you out your name, and like I said, that's a start, that's a sign. But was it other abuse besides the shooting? Did he ever fight you during the time of those 19 years?
No, I never was in a physical abuse during the 19 years.
Oh, wow. But thank God. I don't, mostly my questions was asked by Minister Chaplin and Coho Minister Smith. But I'm just joyful to have you as a guest on Facing Your Fears, because truly in a situation that you were in, many women and men are in that situation today. And I wanted to ask you one more question. Are you dating now?
Not right now, no. Right now, I'm working on myself. I'm truly working on myself.
Good. That's wonderful. Because like you said before, you have to love yourself first. And once, like I said, once that mental abuse starts, it's time to leave. And I'm so glad to just have you on the show. And I'm, like I said before, I hope young ladies and young men realize they don't have to be in these abusive relationships. So God bless you, and thank God that he had spared your life, that you are a living testimony about what God can and will do. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, listeners, there you have it. And we want to thank our co-host as well as you Patricia Jordan for the participants they have participated in thus far. And as we go forward this hour, sure, today I see we do have a lot of callers that wants to call in and they want to share their thoughts and comments and maybe ask some questions, have some questions for my guests. But let me share this to our listeners. There's so many reasons, and every case is not the same as another case. There's different environments, there's different ways that the abuse their victims, there's different things that go on in the home that the victim is afraid to share with people. And that's the number one thing you said, is don't be afraid to speak out when it first happens, even though you love yourself. But keep in mind that that cannot stop an abuser from killing you. Because if they don't love themselves, they certainly cannot love you. Because they will think, if I take her or his life, then I'm going to spend the rest of my life in prison. Or if there's any children in the house, for them to do this in front of children, they don't even have love for children. So we're dealing with, and we have to remember that it's a control thing. It's about controlling you, manipulating you, to make you lose your self-esteem, to make you, they don't want you to love yourself. They want to have control of that feeling. So they're doing all this so you won't love yourself. And then when so much is going on in an abusive home or an abusive environment, until that person that's under this type of treatment cannot even think, all they know is that I'm afraid to open my mouth. If I open my mouth, he may hit me. If I open up my mouth, he may kill me. If I open up my mouth, he may throw me out. If I open up my mouth, he may not continue taking care of me. So many factors there. So many factors. But one is to love yourself. But first we must love God. And when we have God in our lives, and we begin to obey God and God's word, it keeps us from that type of destruction. Because God is not in a part of no, nothing that is a part of sin. And we, as people, get ourselves caught up in situations that lead to destruction. And why is saying that is Evangelist Chapman? Evangelist Chapman is saying that because Evangelist Chapman was shot twice in the river. I was stabbed in from my heart. I lied in a coma for 4 days. I had 6 day blood transfusions. I had 7 surgeries. And my abuser cannot answer questions from me today. Why? Because he took the gun and turned it on himself and took his own life that day. And my 2 children were in the house. They were 6 and 9 years old at the time. They saved my life. And I thank God that he didn't have a mind to kill everyone in the house, the children, me, and himself. So we're blessed to be able to have a talk show in reference to domestic violence, to encourage someone, to inspire someone, to let you know you're not in this alone. We don't want to see what happened to us happen to you. You have a chance to get up out of it. You have a chance to keep your abuser from shooting you, stabbing you, or doing anything else to you. Make up your mind this day. And there is, later on, I'll give you some information and some numbers. If you are a listener out there that's going through domestic violence, I do have numbers that you can call for help. Call. After you call, let's do what I tell you to do. You will be all right. But the first thing is making up your mind and telling yourself, enough is enough. and I'm not a friend of him anymore now. Even if he has to go, I don't care. Most victims say, I don't have a telephone. Take the telephone from me. My family cannot come around. My friends can't call. Why? Because he don't want no one to know what he's going through. He want to keep you isolated. But the very first chance you get to get your phone, first chance you get to be by yourself and you see the next day, leave. Call the police and leave. I'm going to say this and then I'm going to go to our callers. A lot of times they have called the police. And they put their abusers in jail. They love them so much, they go back to jail. I was so happy when the state decided that that person can no longer drop charges. That is, the district attorney takes over. That means that if you don't want to go to jail or whatever, once the police come and then they start taking both to jail. Because we got out, so many lives have been taken through domestic violence and violence. Run alive. And no particular age is involved. I had an interview at Hollow Springs in Hollow Springs at the college and university there in Hollow Springs, and a lot of the questions that was asked to the dean of the school, is there more violence, domestic violence with the girls or the boys, the young men or the younger? And she said to the listeners on that day, she found that there were more aggressive young ladies there in the college than there were aggressive or young men. So a young man had to come to her office and said, would you please talk to her son? And she said it. He said it to her, I don't want to hit her. But she keeps hitting me. She keeps pushing on me. Can we find some way to stop her? These things are happening even in the schools as we speak. Our young ladies and young men are being violently abused. And these are some of the things that we have to stay in tune with out in our communities and continuously to support domestic violence. And keep crying out for the domestic violence. Yeah, and keep on telling the story in front. Because someone out there needs to hear it. Someone out there listening on today may know somebody. But then you go back and say, I heard a story today from a young lady. And she was telling me, and if you have a boyfriend, say, look, I just heard a story on today. That's how y'all do. You treat me so good, and then later on, you'll be abusing it. They said we got 9 seconds before the show end, co-host, and I'm wondering, do that 2 hours kick in next week or this week or before? We got 90 seconds. Let us quickly go to some of the callers right quick, okay? Calling from number 504-444-404. And if, callers, let me say this to you. If we have to end this session, hang up and call back, and we will continue this conversation. Callers, you're on the line. 504, last 4 digits, 4440. You're on the air. Okay, we go to our next caller. Caller from 504-3890. 504-3890. You're on the air. Caller from 504, last 4 digits of your phone number, 3890. You're on the air. Okay, the next caller is calling from 757-8690. Good afternoon. 867. Good evening. Good evening. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm enjoying your program tremendously this afternoon.
Okay.
Minister Chapman. Minister Chapman. Pastor Smith and the young lady that's telling her story, may God bless you and may he keep you. And this is a beautiful program, and may you have many more. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, amen. Now we have another caller we're going to go to at this time. That caller is calling from Alco 786-5094.
You're on the air. So, hi. Hello, everybody. Hi, Minister Chapman and Mr. Smith. This is Ms. Jenkins. I'm calling from Miami, Florida. I just wanted to say a lot of women go through abuse in relationships because they don't know who they are. And they don't know what they are worth, because if you knew who you was and what you were worth, meaning that if you knew God tells us what we are, who we are, and what we are worth before we even seek relationships. If we would know those things, take time out to seek those things, we would somewhat avoid these type of relationships, because our Father would not be us wrong, because we would know what we're worth and who we are before we even get into relationships. That's all I wanted to say. You all have a blessed day, and I enjoyed the show.
You too. Bless God bless you. Listen, we don't have to hang up right now. I'm just going to let the show roll on. If you have any more callers out there who wants to call in with a comment, question, or thought about today's show, because I don't believe that our special guest has finished her testimony, finished talking to our listeners out there on today. We're going to give her another opportunity to come back at this time and let her wrap up her closing on what she's trying to say. But first, before you do that, special guest, let me go back to Erico 504, last 4 digits of the number, 4440. You are on the air. If you have, you must have pressed the number 1 on your phone. And I'm letting you give me an opportunity to come live into the studio with us. Are you still there? 504-4440 is the last 4 digits of that phone number. All right. Okay. So we're just going to go back now into and finish our conversation on today in reference to folks focusing on domestic violence. There's so much we had laid out for our listeners on today, because we wanted them to truly understand what domestic violence is about. I wanted to do a short seminar on it, but I don't have the opportunity today. But we will be back next week, next Thursday, and if possible, we will have our special guest back next Thursday if we cannot wrap it up on today. But we want to say to you that we thank God that you were blessed, that last child, God gave you the strength and the wisdom to hold your hand up there and block that bullet. Because after being shot in the stomach and all, God gave you the strength to block the bullet that's meant for your head. And on that, we thank God. We give him the glory for that on today. Thank God that without him being around that young lady, he would be gone today. Now, another question I want to ask, I assume that he is serving time for what he did you, right?
Yes, he is.
Okay. So, I'm not saying that he is getting out, but if he gets out, say, tomorrow, I know you know to stay away from that, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And then she was also saying to our listeners, love yourself first before you get into a relationship. That's when you start loving yourself. Don't wait until you get into the relationship and say, well, I love myself too much to take this, but I love him too. Well, love yourself and forget about the love you have for him or her. Forget about that love. Because there's, you don't have to live in a domestic violence. God don't want you to live like that. Your children don't have to live in fear. There is help for you. Very quickly, I'm going to give out a number here. And it's the Louisiana Domestic Violence Hotline. If you are living in such an environment, you can feel free to call 1-800-799-7233. And you don't have to, someone will get your information, have someone to call you and help you out of that environment. And it's a confidential line. You can call 24 hours. That's the Louisiana Domestic Violence Hotline as well. That number is 1-888-411-1333. If you live in the city of New Orleans, you can contact the New Orleans Family Justice Center. And I will give you that phone number to call the next at 504-592-4005. That is for family justice. They also have help for domestic violence victims. They can get you up out of there and they can get you a place to stay and give you and get you back up on your feet again, and you can become independent instead of being dependent on your abuser. Also, we have a crisis line you can call 24 hours. That number is 504-866-9550. And if you call these numbers I just give you, they have all the material you need and all the, and they can advise you and give you advice what to do, such as go down and get a restraining order so your abuser cannot come near you, and then they will guide you in the direction you should go so you wouldn't have to stay in that type of environment. Before we go, Mrs. Franklin, is there anything else you want to add to your story on today?
Well, I'm going to add this part to everybody who's listening. I'm going to say thank you. Once again, I'm going to say that I was explaining that I'm gonna explain it two ways right quick while we're still on the line. The first way is before you get into a relationship, love yourself. Once you love yourself, a lot of things you will not allow. The second one is if you're in a relationship and you notice abuse and you are afraid to walk away, have faith in God. Believe in God. Talk to him. And guess what? Be cautious of how you walk away, but still walk away. Because a lot of times, like I said, I didn't know what was going to happen to me on that day, but my faith was in God. And when I tell you, when you say, God, you are in control, he was definitely in control. For me to be shot 7 times and to still be here, guess what? That wasn't nobody but God. So I want to say to anybody who are in a abusive relationship, guess what? Face your fears. That is the theme of this. That's one of the names of this show. And you must face your fears, because if you don't, you might not wake up the next day after whatever a person do to you. You may not be able to live after the abuse. Thank God that I was facing my fears. I was able to walk away, and I trusted in the Most High. Because once you put God into something, the devil can't do you no harm. So
praise God.
I'm going to say it once again.
Amen.
Guess what? I'm going to say this once again. Love yourself first. A person can do you no more than you allow. When you put that
right
in your mind, guess what? When you know who you are, whose you are, guess what? A lot of things
now
you're not going to allow. And a lot of women are totally afraid of being alone. It's okay
that's
to
right
be alone until the right person comes into your life and treat you how you are deserved to be treated. So, like I said, it's two different incidents of abuse. You can avoid it If you love yourself first, put God first, guess what? Know who you are, and a lot of this abuse and all of this to be avoided, because most of the time you are dealing with a person that's abusive, they are weak-minded individuals. So if you are a strong-minded person, guess what? Your strength, your power is going to overpower a weak individual. So that's why I said, once again, love yourself. Guess what? And make sure a person cannot do you no more than you allow. Guess what? If you call me a B-word the first time, you got to go. Guess what? If I would have knew what I know now, guess what? I wouldn't have never been in that predicament. I wouldn't have never been in that relationship that long. So I'm going to say to anybody on this phone who are going through an abusive relationship, guess what? Go to God. I'm going to say go to God before you even talk to a friend. Because guess what? God is more powerful than anybody.
Go ahead,
I am a living witness of that. Guess what? The doctor couldn't believe, why are you still living? Them people expect me to die. And you ready for this? I got shot New Year's Eve, and I walked out the hospital New Year's Day. Now you tell me what God can do. So guess what? So all of my listeners today, guess what? I hope we can come back and continue next week. Anybody can ask me any questions, because they may want to have some people ask me, how did I heal? And guess what? So next week, maybe the topic could be on healing after abuse. So I just would like to say to everyone, thank you so much. I thank God for this opportunity for me to share my testimony and for me to help people that are going through what I have been through, people who are suffering from low self-esteem. Guess what? That's a key factor of getting into an abusive relationship. People who are suffering from being a people pleaser, loving someone else more than you love yourself. And that's not only with relationships. It could be with friends. It's way deeper. So I'm not going to go too far today, but if we want to tune in next week and do something else, I'm very pleased to come back. But once again, my key word is, a person cannot do you no more than you allow. So
amen.
All right, you have it. We are getting ready in the show right now, and I want to make another announcement. Dr. Garth Smith, there's a lot of noise that's in the studio, and wherever you're at, if you're in the studio with me, please change your location. I can't have that interference in the studio. All right. Dr. Doris Smith has asked me to make an announcement to Florida Domestic Violence Hotline. That hotline there in Florida is 1-800-500-1119. Now, Pastor Smith, is that the domestic violence hotline? Is that your family's in a hotline? Because I gave them a national hotline. Wherever they live in the United States, they can call that first number that I gave out to them.
Yeah, that's just a local, if they want to call, like, you know, and have it, you know, not speak to someone directly and kind of tell them what's going on, and then they'll kind of, that's what that is.
Okay. Thank you so very much. Listeners, we are so happy that you tune in on today's show. We had so much prepared for you, and I knew that you wouldn't be able to do it within an hour, and I did go overtime today. But that's okay, because this is what worthy calls. Now, we want to focus on domestic violence during this coronavirus pandemic. I can imagine that people that's not used to being at home all day in the same surrounding, around their spouses, as well as being in the house with their children. And they used to not being so many days together all day, every day. I pray that they do not get frustrated to the fact where they take their frustrations out on their partner, out on their wife, out on their children. Think. Please think before you do it. Pray before you do it. And ask God to get you through whatever stress that you're going through. I know you're going through stress, and I know there's a lot of families out there. They're not working, and they don't know how they're going to make ends meet. But remember, God is always there, and he promised to never leave you nor desert you. So there is an answer to your problem. That is to seek God. Seek God, and he will guide you. Because God does not want his people to go through such environment. All right, listeners, you have it for today. And if by chance we come back next week with this domestic violence, continuing to talk on domestic violence, we pray that you will call back again on next week. And remember, listeners, you are welcome to press that number one on your phone if you have any comments, questions, or just want to share your experience with our listeners. At this time, we are going to let our co-host briefly give us some information on her devotional, inspirational prayer line that she has. Listeners out there, if you need a prayer or want to be in a good prayer service, please take the time to get a pencil and take this number, and you can contact co-host after the show, and after then I will give my information. Bless you. Co-host.
God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, Evangelist Chapman. Praise God. God bless you all that are connected on the show. Great show tonight. You can connect with me. I am on Facebook under Doris Smith, DorisSmith. Also, every Tuesday and Thursday morning in the fourth watch, 5 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we are on the Power Hour line of inspiration and motivation. You can dial in by dialing 712-775-7031, access code 710-569-pound. Again, Tuesday morning, 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 712-775-7031. On this same line, we have our noonday prayer on every Wednesday. We are praying during this coronavirus, and we're going to pray until we pray through. God bless you.
Thank you so very much. You can contact me, Janice Norma Chapman, at Norma_Chapman. I'm sorry, this is Norma_Chapman at yahoo.com. All lowercase letters, that is Norma_Chapman at yahoo.com. You can always contact me through Facebook on Faith in Your Fears, Facebook page, What Faith Can Do, Facebook page, also through Instagram, Twitter. And you can also just hit that link on Block Talk Radio on Facebook. And after the show, you can go back and review the show, review the whole show that took place this afternoon. And remember, listeners, you too can be a guest on Facing Your Fears Radio Talk Show. All you have to do is go to the Facebook page. There's a calendar there that you can pick a day and time that you would like to appear on the show. After looking at the date and time, and this is available, we will gladly have you and be very, very happy to have you here on Facing Your Fears Radio Talk Show. And we want to thank our special guest on today, Ms. Andrea Franklin, for coming into the coming on Facing Your Fears Radio Talk Show, sharing her tragic testimony. But we thank God that she was able, that God blessed her to be alive on today to help somebody to realize that domestic violence, as I say always, is deadly. It's nothing to play with. It's not loving you. It's not a sign of love. It is a sign of death. That's what domestic violence environments are, a sign of death. So with that being said, this is our show for today, and we ask that everyone stay safe And we're praying for the coronavirus victims on today. Those that are still on the ventilators, those at home that are suffering with coronavirus. And we pray that the Lord will bless them to come off of that ventilator and that they long function in the way that it should function, and that they'll be able to breathe on their own. We also ask that God walk through the houses on today where the coronavirus are in pain. We ask that God will release this coronavirus virus out of their bodies. And we pray for the families that have lost a loved one due to coronavirus. We pray that the Lord will keep them and guide them. And we want to encourage them on today to look to the hills, which cometh their help. All of their help comes from God. And we want them to know that this too shall pass. All right, this is our show for today. Be blessed and stay safe out there. Goodbye now.
Goodbye.